Welcome to the Bleed Black and Gold podcast, a Bruins podcast presented by Boston Sports Syndicate. I'm your host, Michael Travers, and with me are my two other regular hosts, Mr. Ryan Daly and Mr. Wabba, I don't have a real name, plays.
gentlemen,
what's going on? Ryan, what's going on, man?
Not too much. The NHL season is to start in less than 30 days. So it's training camp should be ramping up soon.
Yeah, I think training camp is in 2 weeks. 2 weeks?
Yeah, the captain practices are now. Training camp starts in 2 weeks, and the season starts officially on October 12th.
Fun times ahead. Fun times ahead. Wabba, what is going on? How are you? What brings you here today?
I'm here because you pay really well. And I saw a Twitter clip of Studnicka scoring a goal, so he can do it.
Oh, he can. That's what brought you here? Just that clip of Studnicka brought you here?
Pretty much. I mean, it was really exciting because we have nobody else in the pipeline, so God bless him.
Speaking of scoring goals, you guys see David Pastrnak just ripping one-timers in a ball league over in, like, where the Czech or something?
Was he playing outdoor roller?
No, it was, like, indoor deck hockey.
Oh, my God, he's on feet? Yeah, that's safe. Yeah. That's smart.
Like, ripping one-timers from, like, the Chara spot.
Did they have pads in that league? Like, for the goalies?
Like, shin pads. The goalies, yeah. Goalies had full pads. Goalies were just blowing it by him.
Goalies wear full pads until it hits them in the foot, and they have sneakers on.
Yep.
And they break every toe and bone in their foot.
Would it be an honor or death sentence to be a goalie in front of Pastrnak just shooting these deck hockey balls at your face?
For me, it would be torture. But I feel like for, like, like, if you're just, like, a schlub in the Czech, and you're just, like, he's just ripping shots at you, I can only assume Krejci's saucing him over the ball, and then it's Pastrnak just ripping one-tees. That's probably an honor. You probably get hit in the chest, and you get a little bruise, and it goes through the chest protector, you get a little chest, and then you tattoo the outline of the ball on your chest. And that way you always remember. Maybe you have him sign it, and then you get that tattooed, too. You know, because that's that. But for me, a nightmare. Absolutely not. No, thank you. I'm good.
Forget that.
I'm good. I don't need the outline of a ball tattooed onto my chest that was ripped from David Pastrnak. I'm good. I'm good. All set. So, anyways, let's get down to business. So we here at the Bleed Black and Gold podcast have a minor announcement, and you're probably a little confused anyway because you're like, wait a second, these guys now have their own feed. What's going on here? Why? Where's all the Boston Sports Syndicate stuff? So the Boston Sports Syndicate's owner, he's a real jerk. He made a decision to make it so that the Boston Sports Syndicate podcast became strictly the old school show where it was, you know, just going to be one show And they were going to talk about all four sports. So that kicked all of us lowly individual team sports to kind of fend for ourselves. So, you know, we decided, the three of us here at the Bleed Black and Gold decided that we're just going to keep the tradition going, keep the band together, and branch out and do our own little feed here, which obviously you found, which will be on, obviously, on iTunes, which will be on, well, not iTunes, Apple Podcasts, sorry, Spotify, iHeartRadio. There's like 10 more that I've never even heard of, but we'll put them on there because a play's a play and a click's a click as far as I'm concerned.
More numbers equal better person.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. The higher the numbers, the better the show, obviously. So it's science. And we will have our own Twitter. We'll have our own website, believe it or not. We'll have our own Twitch channel. We will have our own YouTube channel. We'll have our own. I think that's pretty much everything. I don't think
logo.
We'll have our own logo. Yeah, we have a new logo, which you've probably seen. We'll have our own. We can get our own merch. We probably will have our own merch, and yeah. So
you guys buy enough merch, we'll have our own ad down at the Providence Dunk Center.
Yeah, that's right.
So support us, so you can see Bleed Black and Gold in front of the Everything. The old bench over there.
Yeah, we'll put it right below the right where the P Bruins jump over the bench. It'll just say bleed black and gold.
Actually, right where Trent Frederick will be sitting.
Dude, since we last recorded, I've been getting into like hockey cards and stuff, and I've been like exclusively going after like Trent Frederick young guns and stuff.
Why don't you just buy it? It's gotta be like $3.
Yes, that's why I bought them. And
just hit it up on eBay. It's probably $3 for a Trent Frederick card.
It's an investment. It's an investment property. So when he, you know, the new C1, and he's Captain Trent Frederick, which probably stings your ears.
Of the P Bruins?
Of the actual, you know,
God-given Bruins. That's not gonna
15
happen.
Years.
If he's still kicking around the NHL in 15 years, I'll give you $3 back for the card that you bought him.
But trust me, those cards are going to be worth dozens.
Mm. Yeah. Eventually. Yeah, we'll see. I'm gonna take the under on that one. So anyway, the Bleed Black and Gold podcast will continue, obviously, here. And you might even be a little bit confused as to why we have a dozen or so shows already on this feed. And what we decided to do as a group is that we would take our old shows off of the Boston Sports Syndicate feed, and we were going to reapply them here so that you can kind of catch up and see the great camaraderie that we have amongst the three of us, the chemistry, some might call it, amongst the three of us, and see everything we bring to the table, me and the hosting skills, Ryan with really the only hockey knowledge, and then Wawa with entertainment, I guess. That's what he's got covered. That's what he's got under control over right there. So
he takes, I got takes.
So the Twitch, the Twitter, the website, the feed is now going to be the BBNG podcast. So at BBNG podcast on Twitter, twitch.tv/BBNG podcast. That's where you'll be able to find us from here on out. We are planning to do our shows live on Twitch. That's the plan. Now, things don't always go to plan, so don't hold it against us if we don't do every show. But the thought process there being able to lively interact with fans of not only the Bruins, but the NHL, and maybe fans of Waba or Big Country, aka Ryan Daly. They both have a Twitch following, so I know some of their normal viewers will probably try and pop in and say what's going on, so we can do all that kind of live and on the fly and handle it that way. So I think that's a smart thing and a good thing that we'll be able to do. We're hopefully gonna be able to get some guests of all kinds, other. Whether it's streamers, hockey fans, other podcast hosts from around the city, and other Bruins fans, maybe just fans of the NHL, because we're gonna strive to cover not only the Bruins but also talk about the NHL in general. We'll probably do a lot of NHL, EA Sports, NHL video game talk, because that's, I know Waba's a game changer, which I'll let him explain what that is in a bit, but. I mean, it's something that the three of us all play. I play in a bunch of leagues. If you're ever on my Twitch channel, you see that's all I do is stream league games. So we'll probably talk a lot about that. And I think that pretty much covers the direction that we're hoping to go into. And you guys have anything else you want to add? Wabi, you can explain what a game changer is to people who don't know. But and then if you have any other comments or anything you want to say, by all means.
Sure. So like Trav said, I'm a big nerd. I play a lot of video games. That's actually how I met these fools, which was we all played NHL, and I'd go on their channels and found out they were better than me, which is fine. It's not tough to do, so bar's really low. But I do a lot of streaming on Twitch. I'm trying to get in the YouTube game. I am affiliated with EA through their content creator program, so I have access to a lot of EA titles, whether it's early or some feedback opportunities. So I don't play as seriously as these guys, but we'll be talking about that too, just occasionally, because I feel like there's a big overlap. Like the Venn diagram has a big segment between people like real hockey and people like fake hockey with your thumbs.
Well, that's because hockey fans are such a specific group. I feel like baseball can have casual fans, football can have casual fans, soccer, I'm a casual soccer fan, basketball, do they even have fans? I feel like hockey is like a diehard fandom, and I feel like if you're a hockey fan, you pretty much like it through and through. You're a Bruins fan. You're probably an NHL fan. You're probably an NHL the video game fan. I think it's just the nature of the NHL. I mean, the hockey fan in general.
Yep. So that's I don't know. That's gonna be fun, especially with the. I know we here talk Bruins and stuff, but like with the game coming out too, we can talk about like you know different things on that. Like Bergeron was like. His perfect face was in the most recent trailer, and it looks like actually like him. So it's gonna be interesting as well to kind of get a Bruins fan's take on that as well, virtual hockey as well as real hockey.
Ryan, you have anything you want to add about the new direction, the demerger? We'll still be presented by the Boston Sports Syndicate, so we'll still have you know cross promotion. We'll probably have some of the guys that are in the Boston Sports Syndicate come over and join our show and whatnot. So you can still check them out, BostonSportsSyndicate.com. But go ahead, Ryan. Sorry.
No, I'm very very excited in the direction that we're about to take this podcast, and I hope our listeners and fans and everyone who finds us going forward is excited to come and listen to us and. You know, take our knowledge from what we know of the game. And, you know, I know I've grew up playing my entire life. Mike has played as well. And Waba is, you know, he just mentioned he's a big fan. So, and I hope you guys could see, I mean, just because you didn't play doesn't mean you can't be a fan of the sport. And I feel like that's kind of one of the biggest misconceptions with the NHL community and a lot of people who are outside looking in with the NHL. I feel like there's, and I honestly, I think a lot of it has to do with like your local sports radio stations where, cause you got, you know, Jimbo from downtown being like, I've been playing my whole life. You know, this is what the team needs to do. And, you know, and they're completely wrong, but
those are my favorite callers.
Dude, those make me feel so cringe when I hear it. I'm like, I can't turn the radio off quick enough when I hear those first lines come out of their mouth.
I've played my whole life,
and I'm like, no.
I got all the answers. I know exactly what the Bruins need to do.
I played junior C college hockey. Not even a thing. But, no, I'm very excited. There should be a lot more content for us coming out. We kind of mentioned it off air, but when we were together with the with everybody else on the Boston Sports Syndicate, we kind of had to have a rotation of when we could put our stuff out. But now we're going to be strictly focusing more on getting more stuff out for you guys. So hopefully, you know, you guys don't have to wait a giant gap in between episodes. You'll get them more often, which I know I'm going to enjoy more because – I feel like sometimes you guys can't shut me up because we have so much to talk about.
Yeah, 6 to 8 weeks is not a great time frame to be able to do a show every five to six, maybe 7 weeks sometimes. But yeah, hopefully we'll, you know, during the season we'll be out weekly, bi-weekly. Who knows? The beauty of it is that now we have no you know that our old boss, that jerk, he didn't give us much leeway. So now that we you know, we kind of cut the cord and we are running wild and free from that idiot, we can
do. For those who are unaware of the joke, it's his father. Like, I legitimately.
No, it's not. It's me. I'm the guy. Like, it's me. It's my decision.
Oh, you're dissing yourself? Oh, in that case, that guy sucks.
Oh, you didn't realize that? Guy,
like, I love how Wabba thinks it's just because my dad's on the show and my dad's the boss. Like, he's like,
well, no, because like, you're like that guy, so I didn't think you'd talk to your. What are you, the
no.
Rocker Seal?
Yeah.
If I knew we were trashing you, I would have been doing it from the beginning. Yeah, this dude sucks. All right? That gives me a hard time every chance he has, like now, if he was here.
Yeah, me. No, it's me. Yeah, the boss from the Boston Sports Syndicate, that would be me. I'm the guy that screwed everything up over there. So, but you can't get away from me.
We took him on, but though, we gave him a second chance.
You can't. Yeah, you can't get away from me. I still got to do that show too. So you can't. I don't get away from it. I don't get away.
He knew where the true talent was. He held on tight.
Latched on, hung on for dear life, and right to Wabba's coattails. It's
like, yeah,
the hard-hitting knowledge. Anyway,
you don't need to know anything about hockey to be able to talk about it to people.
Skate fast, shoot hard. Yeah.
Just read whatever your Twitch followers say.
Yeah, right. Where do you think I get all my takes from? Like, people give me credit. They're like, I said that on your like stream. Like, I know, and I stole it, and I repackaged it, and I shared it.
Anyway, so the last time that we did meet, which you can go back and listen to our library, we're not going to repeat everything that we said, but we did talk about the Bruins off-season moves and, you know, the additions and subtractions, and I think the last time we had met, the Krejci news, I don't think it had become official. I think it was they were leaning towards, you know, he was leaning towards not coming back, but he hadn't, or he said he was, if he was coming back. No, he did. We did talk about this, because I said you can't blame him for wanting to go back and spend time with his family if that was the case. So it must have became official literally right after we recorded, which is a classic BSS/BBNG thing to happen, where you record a show, and then as soon as you finish and post said show, news breaks. So like that's just the way that it goes. So hopefully nothing will happen today, because it's like it's the middle of September and nothing's really happening.
But Krejci tomorrow.
Yeah. Krejci officially it will not be returning to the Bruins. So heartbreak there. So I know Wawa was very upset.
I was legitimately upset. So I feel like myself and everyone else and his family as well were all assuming that he was playing in Boston.
I thought you were just going to relate the feelings that his family had to the feelings that you had.
Like, no. What? What? I'm not that...
Rob is like, we're brothers.
He's like, his wife, his kids, me. We were all very upset by the fact that he didn't return to Boston.
We were all surprised. We were all equally shocked.
I was texting with them, and we couldn't believe it.
I couldn't believe the news when we learned of it, me and his family. But like, I feel like everyone was shocked. Okay, maybe not his family, but like everyone here. And I feel like the organization as well, because they didn't, I mean, yeah, they picked up like, you know, some other pieces, but I don't think they picked up a second center. I think they still thought Coyle was going to be their third person. Now he's number two. And that was crazy. And people are still talking about it, like, oh, you know, maybe he'll come back. Maybe there's like a weird loophole. He has to clear all the teams. And then you see him in this, like, Czech magazine with this, like, rooster. It's not the actual name. I don't want to get, you know, but it's on his chest. And it's real. And he's gone. And he's just like that.
Did people actually think it was a hoax? Like, he was like, oh, no, he's just going to say that. And then he'll come back and sign for the league minimum.
As sure as the earth is flat, I thought he was coming back.
Wava's sitting there thinking Jágr's going to re-sign, too. It's, like, hopeful. Really need a third line guy.
You don't even want to know the ideal team I put together. Maybe I'll do that next time. I'll put together the ideal. Let's get him out of retirement. People are still living, maybe. But you know, I actually thought Krejci was coming back.
I will say this, that I actually kind of agree with you and thinking that I don't think that the team thought that it was going to happen, because when you look at the players that they picked up, they kind of went for. I don't want to say they went for depth pieces that can also play the wing. So maybe in the thought process was that they would be keeping him. Now Coyle will replace him on the second line. And I mean, if it's the Coyle of last year, yikes. Because I just, maybe 2 years ago, maybe I'm feeling good. Maybe I'm feeling good about that. But the drop off between skill level, offensive skill level between Krejci and Coyle, I think is going to be a pretty decent one. And hopefully, Taylor Hall can still bring it with Charlie Coyle in between in the middle rather than David Krejci. And that's, I think, the biggest question mark on this team right now. Because if you're gonna put Hall on that second line, which is where he belongs, because you have Marchand on the top line, obviously, but if you're gonna put Hall there, you need to have a good center to get him the puck. And that's the only way he's gonna be effective.
And it was disappointing because like you finally get Hall. Like Krejci's been like living his whole life without like that huge superstar. He's had talented players on that line, but never somebody the caliber of Hall. And correct. So you think, okay, like, we got this. We have the best two lines in hockey. Everyone in Boston is gloating, you know, drinking their Sam Adams in the street, and then this happens, and it's like, you have people who can step up. You know, you have Studnicka, you have Coyle. Is Foligno a center? He's played in the past. I don't think he's a number two center, but I think he's a bottom six.
Foligno's going to play the wing, I believe.
It, but
he's normally like, a left wing, but they... I'm looking at Daily Faceoff, okay, so which is a website that I use for fantasy hockey. Now I'm giving away my secrets. It's called dailyfaceoff.com, and it has kind of the projected lines or the projected lines right now, but during the season it has its the team's actual lines, and they have Foligno playing right wing on the third line with DeBrusk and Holla. And honestly, I don't even hate that. I don't hate the Bruins lines. I don't hate the depth that they have. I just think that the team would be that much better, that much scarier had Krejci returned. And I think they probably would have made the cap work. And, you know, I don't know. I think I agree with you for once that they were a little surprised. Ryan, your thoughts?
I mean, I kind of feel like the writing was on the wall that Krejci was going to leave when at the trade deadline, or not even the trade deadline, the break of the free agency, when the Bruins were spending all that money, and it was getting to the point where they didn't have the money to kind of sign Krejci back. That was my worry when they, you know, they signed Foligno, they signed Hula, they signed Nosek, they signed, you know, they re-signed, what's his name there?
Mike Riley. They signed Forbert.
Yeah,
Riley.
Yeah. So, like, they were signing a bunch of guys, and they were spending money, which I'm, you know, happy to see the Bruins do. But it was getting to the point where, like, their salary cap was kind of dwindling down, unless they, like, my only thought was, you know, Krejci was going to take a one-year hometown discount.
Yep.
And then when I heard the news of him about to leave, I'm like, that, well, that makes sense, is why they spent that money that they were probably going to put towards Krejci on, you know, depth pieces and take this, you know, captain's practices and training camp to kind of find out who gels with who and who fits where and take the preseason. And so I think you're going to see a lot of shuffling probably like through the preseason and like within the first month of the season of the Lions to kind of see who gels with who.
See, I hate line shuffling. Like, I don't think like going into the season that's a good plan. Like it throughout the course of a game, if somebody's not playing well, if somebody gets hurt and it has to happen, fine, whatever. But like going in being like the plan is to see what happens. Like I guess that's what the preseason's for. You start doing it in the regular season, don't love it. Don't love that at all. One thing that Wabba will love here is on dailyfaceoff.com, the fourth line left wing right now. Number 11.
Trent Frederick.
Yep.
Knees shall fall in his wake during his 7-minute shifts.
He'll see a minute and a half of ice time a game, but outside of that, but.
So I'm on that site. Do you see like the FL rating like for the different lines? So we still have the number one line.
You do, yes. It's the number one forward line.
And the number two, I wonder what it was with Krejci, but it fell to number 11.
Well, that's so the way that it works. So the way that it works is it's the number one forward line one. So it's the top first line, and then the second one is number 11 forward line two. So it's of all the second lines, it's the average of each player's rating at their position. So you see,
I wonder what it was with Krejci, though. Like, that would have been, what do you have? Well, you have 15, 43, and 43, so maybe not, but I don't know why Craig Smith is so low, but.
Yeah, and then you look at the other ones, number 4, third line, and number 19, fourth line, because Frederick's there and has no rating, if you notice. Frederick is not rated of all the left wings in the NHL.
Rating is just a number, man.
There's no rating there. There's no rating there.
Because he's too elite. I love him. Unironically. I'm super happy that he's going to be getting a lot of playing time. Unironically. I'm serious.
The other big question mark that I have as far as the Bruins going into the season here is going to be the goaltending. So, actually, has Tuukka Rask signed?
No, he's not signed.
So Rask and Chara are both free agents.
Bring them home, boys!
Well, Rask can't play anyway, and Rask already said it's the Bruins or nobody.
Rask
said that. But
Rask won't be skating until probably after Christmas, if not the new year.
Yeah, he had that. He had, was it hip or knee or something?
Yeah, I think it was
leg
his
or
hip surgery.
Whatever it is.
I think it was a hip surgery, and, you know, hip surgeries for goalies are, like, much longer recovery time than it is for, like, the skater.
So I think second-line center, goaltending. Those are going to be the two spots to watch here in the preseason, training camp, and the first couple weeks. But Linus Ullmark and Jeremy Swayman, how are you guys feeling about the goaltending tandem that sits here for the Bruins?
I would love to see how Ullmark does in front of an actual team, not a I don't even want to call them an AHL team. Maybe an ECHL team.
in front of that junior C college team that Jimmy plays for.
Yeah. I think, you know, with an actual defense, an actual like system that's been in place for more than a year, because Buffalo can't keep a system, a coach, a GM, a fan. Sorry, this isn't a Buffalo bashing show.
I think
I don't want to say Olmark has a short leash, but I think if Swayman gets a chance, he might steal that job from him. I mean, Swayman kind of stepped up. I mean, Swayman stole the job from Halak last year, and I think, you know, he's young, he's eager, he's hungry. He might want to try to do it again.
I think the difference between this year and last year, one, I think Olmark currently is a better goaltender than Halak currently. And I think overall Halak is probably going to go down in history as a better goaltender, but Olmark currently, as we sit here at 26 or whatever, is better than 35-year-old Yaroslav Halak. But the situation's a little different, I think, here. So the situation last year was, you know, the Bruins were in contention and they lost their number one goaltender and they needed a spark. They needed someone to come in and someone to take and basically just take over. And it could have been Halak and it could have been Swayman. And I think that job was not really Halak's. I think it was more of like a whoever really wants it gets it. And Swayman just played better and ended up just getting the job. But whereas now I think Olmark is your number one goalie. And I think that Swayman would have to play well long enough and Olmark would have to play poorly long enough for them to make that switch. Like I still think now you have a clear cut one and two. Whereas when you had Halak, it wasn't really a clear one and two. It was almost like a 2A, 2B type of thing. And now, you know, you have a one and Olmark is your one, in my opinion.
Definitely has a potential. I mean, we saw it last year, like Big Country said, like, and who knows, like if he goes lights out, they've shown that they have no problem trusting him and the team trusts him. So, you know, I know everybody was like, oh, Swayman's number one. Like, I think this is the right move. And, you know, they got rid of, Vladar. So, like, you know, he's definitely the guy of the future. But then they sign Olmark on this huge deal. And then they talk about Tuukka. Like, I guess I don't really know what they're doing. Like, what's happening with Tuukka? Is he coming back in February? Like, I thought it was going to be the Swayman show, then they get Olmark, and then it's like, okay, we'll get Tuukka back somehow. I don't know.
Yeah, I think by signing Olmark, I said 26, he's 28. My mistake. My apologies. By signing Olmark, I'm kind of looking at it like, does that tell you that they're maybe not as big on Swayman as we thought? They think that maybe he's – and it was what, a 5-6 year deal, something like that? So are they not?
Like 4-for-4.
Are they? He's a 5 mil cap hit. But are they maybe not as big on Swayman as the fan base is, or as, you know? I mean, they obviously don't know what they're talking about. They you know, they don't see him every single day, and we're just fans. But I mean, maybe they're not quite as high up on him as the fan base is, and the signing of a younger goaltender for multiple years maybe kind of shows that.
I guess it's surprising. I feel like it is with, you know, any type of player that you had for a while, at least from a fan perspective, when it's like, now they're not playing. Like, we're going to have a team for several months, maybe even the whole season and forever without Tuukka anymore. And that's, like, kind of weird from a fan perspective. And now all the people that said Tuukka sucks are going to actually be able to prove it or not. And if they do better without him, then that's one thing. And if they stink, then maybe he wasn't that bad.
If the Bruins go out win the cup without Tuukka, with Linus Olmark and Jeremy Swayman as the goaltending duo, the Tuukka haters are going to come out in waves. And it's going to be obnoxious. As much as I want the Bruins to win the cup, I don't know if I can deal with that.
I see, for me, in a perfect world, Olmark keeps him in contention, Rask comes back and starts or comes back, signs with the Bruins on a small deal just to get here, just to be here, and then wins the starting job and then wins them the Stanley Cup. That's a perfect scenario for me.
I love that.
Perfect scenario.
I mean, realistically, if the Bruins sign Tuukka and say, you know, when he is healthy, say, I don't know, January, February, they only have to pay him for
prorated
the exactly. So they could pay like sign him for a 1 year, you know, veteran minimum, and then if you know he comes in and does play well, then they can give him like a better contract the following year. But so honestly, it's kind of like a win-win-win situation if you think of it.
Or they could sign him to a 2 year deal for, I don't know, $2-3 million a year, put him on long term IR until the playoffs start, and then pull him off of long term IR, and then they just get a Vezina goalie, Vezina trophy goalie, you know, for the playoff run. I mean,
okay,
I mean, no team has done that before, right? No team has circumvented the rules in that way, where you know they get a MVP All Star caliber player back for the playoffs, right?
No, nobody need the goalie to get into a little more of a rhythm than you do.
Oh right? No, I know. I'm being a little baby bit sarcastic.
Well, let me ask this too. What kind of message? So we have Ullmark for what? 4 years?
4 years, $5 million.
What kind of message does that send him if they bring Tuukka back for the playoffs only?
Well, they're not going to bring him back only for the playoffs. But if they do bring him back.
You know what I mean? Like, okay, I'm Ullmark. I'm doing my thing. I'm doing well. I'm enough to get the Bruins into the playoffs. I got Swayman here chilling, this little blob Swayman. And then I'm ready to go into the playoffs. Yay, let's go. I'm not on that crap bag team up in Buffalo. And they're like, oh, by the way, you're number two now. We brought Tuukka back. I mean, he's got it. Like, that's got to mess with him. Goalies are, you know, kind of weird anyway, and I don't mean that in a bad way.
Yeah, so
but that's got to mess with his head a little bit.
That could – honestly, could – yes, you are – goalies are weird, but that could potentially give him the boost to play better. Bingo. Goaltenders are 100% fixated on competition. And, you know, if he's sitting there and he's like, I got Tuukka right here on my heels and Jeremy Swayman on Tuukka's heels. Like, if I mess up once, my job is gone. I need to play my behind off to make sure I don't lose this job. So,
yeah, but I mean, you're not saying you're going to bring Tuukka into the playoffs. And it's not, this is all hypothetical because there's no guarantee that they're right. going to do that. But, you know, say just hypothetically, even if they do bring Tuukka in, say, February, March or whatever, you're going to find out not only the kind of goalie that Ullmark is, but the kind of individual that he is. Because when something like that happens, it goes one of two ways because goalies are so weird. They either – what Ryan is saying is they get a little spark and all of a sudden they say, nope, now I got to really fight for this. Or they can't handle the pressure and they cave. And it could happen, honestly, both ways. You see it with Robin Lehner. Robin Lehner got a little bit of competition when he was with the Islanders and couldn't really handle it. Then he goes to Vegas and is the bat guy to apply the pressure and wins the job. And is a looks like a completely different goalie. So it could happen at any time, and it can happen either way, even with the same guy. So it'll show you the kind of person and the kind of fight that Ullmark has. The other thing about Rask coming back in February, March is you're 3 months into the season. You have a pretty good grasp at that point as to where the Bruins will be as far as the standings go, as far as, you know, should they make moves, should they not make moves, are they going to be buyers, are they going to be sellers, is it worth bringing in Rask, is it not worth bringing in Rask? You're going to see where the team is. You're also going to have the chance to see what Swayman does and maybe a little bit more of a prominent role, and you're going to see what you have in Ullmark. So it's almost a perfect case scenario for the Bruins if Rask is out until February and wants to come back here. And you can see it all kind of unfold. And you don't have to make that decision on 5 or 6 preseason games and decide that if you want to bring Rask back or cut Swayman or trade Swayman or whatever it might be, or Ullmark or whichever one. You have 2.5 months, 3 months to figure that out. So it could be a blessing or a good thing for the Bruins.
I think the only, like, the option you presented, I don't think they're going to get rid of Swayman because I feel like having a young, talented goalie is a huge, like, advantage that you don't always get, especially one that's NHL ready. But when you said, like, maybe they trade Ullmark, if he's doing well enough, it's like, sure, there's some teams that might benefit from that. So maybe he is a good trading chip to get that second line center, depending on how things are going.
Could be, yeah. But the other thing is that cap hit now is going to make him tough to move as opposed to Swayman, who's under contract for this year and next year. So it could be a perfect opportunity for you to, you know, showcase Swayman and then move him. Because it, to me, I don't think that if they thought Swayman was the guy, so he's under an entry level contract this year, next year. So if he was going to be the guy, they could have made him the guy for very, very short money over the next 2 years, cap hit of less than $1 million. But then they signed this guy to a 4-year deal. So maybe they see something. I'm telling you, they might see something that we don't really see, that we don't really. You know, I mean, again, they're there every practice, every game, and I'm sure Wob is a fly on the wall for him, maybe, but we're not there. You know, we only see the games that he plays, so.
Yeah, I mean, no one's, like Big Country said, no one saw his games in Buffalo, so who knows?
Yeah, well, yeah, for Olmark, yeah. But I mean, I don't know, maybe it allows some flexibility, and it's always nice that you do have a Vezina trophy winner that just wants to come back and play for you, just kind of sitting there and waiting, and maybe you, I mean, Olmark, I don't think you're going to be able to trade that piece, but maybe Swayman becomes a trade piece. And let's not start the we're trading Swayman and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? But it's just thinking out loud, thinking as you go. Good point, Mike. High five, boys.
Man just gave himself a high five because you're like,
well, I'm like, I pause for station identification and to let you guys join in there, and you're just like, yeah, you're just processing all the scorching hot takes.
I mean, when you're right, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa. But when you're not right, you're me.
Sorry, I fell asleep at the end of your rant there. I mean, what, can you repeat yourself? No, I'm just kidding.
Rand, can you go back on that?
Yeah, can you say that again? Actually, I can. I don't remember. So, no. But anyway.
I mean, maybe the Bruins think that Swayman's going to have like a sophomore slump or regress a little bit this year, so that way they, you know. That's why they went and got Olmark. I don't know. Like you said, we're not there. We don't see what's going on behind the scenes. Maybe the Bruins are smarter than we are. But we'll see. I mean, the season's less than 30 days away, so get excited. I'm excited. I can tell you that much.
A little bit of not breaking news, because it's not really breaking. It's not really pertaining to the Bruins per se, and it happened 7 or 8 hours ago. So I don't know if it's really breaking news, but a friend of the podcast and former Boston Bruins Scituate's own Ryan Donato signed a 1-year deal today with the Seattle Kraken.
Love it. Wow.
He probably goes to their first line.
Honestly, like that team, no disrespect to them. I don't think they did a good job drafting that team.
Their defense is pretty legit.
I'm pissed about Luzon.
Oh, but I guess Jaden Schwartz would be their first line left wing, and Yanni Gourde is their center.
Yeah, but legitimately, Donato's not bad. I'm shocked it took this long for him to get picked up, and to get picked up by the Kraken, like...
Who?
Who's
not bad? Donato?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, continue, sorry.
No. Like, I don't think... Like, I was shocked that it took so long. Because I know he was such a, you know, a good bottom six piece here. But now in the Kraken, like you said, like he could get some ice time.
He might play on the second line. Legitimately, he might play on the second line.
Yeah. And honestly, like compared to the rest of that team, great. Like, I think it's a good fit. Like, you know, who knows? Like, this could be his chance, too. Like, what is he, 1 year? He shows he can be a top six instead of a bottom six.
750K. 1 year, 750K. Easy. Now, we're talking about the Bruins line ratings, and then we're just dumping on the Kraken for their drafting. Their first line, number 20. Their second line, number 28. Their third line, number 31. Fourth line, number 3.
Cool. Yeah,
good grinders.
they can be the Islanders.
Yeah, they got no one because they can score any goals.
Yeah, it's tough. Tough.
They might have defense. They might have goaltending.
Good
defense. They can't put the puck in the net. You're not going to win games 0-0.
Yeah, good defense and pretty good goaltending too. Didn't they take the kid? Didn't they take the kid from Washington too?
Yeah, they held him hostage.
And then they traded him back.
they
legit had him for 12 hours.
They drafted him and then traded him to Washington for a draft pick.
I didn't know that.
It was awesome. And their Twitter said, "Hey, thanks for the memories of VTech or whatever."
Vinicek,
and it was like
right?
Legit 12 hours.
That's what VTech Vinicek. That's right. Yeah, I thought they drafted him, but then they signed Dreiger. But anyway, I got sidetracked. Shocker. But yeah.
See, former Bruins legend Backes retired too.
I did see
David
that.
Backes did retire.
I did
that
see
1 year contract. Was shocked he didn't take the one day contract. Shocked he didn't take it here, but you know.
He signed it with the Blues, I'm assuming, right? That's a, he's a Blues Hall of Famer.
Yeah. That yeah.
He'll go to the agree. Blues Hall of Fame.
Being facetious, I mean, you got that one. I enjoyed his play. I know he's wasn't everybody's, you know, maybe he was overpriced, but I thought he was a good dude, good player.
Significantly overpriced. The best thing David Backes did in Boston is start like a foundation to save dogs. Like that was the best thing he did. It has nothing to do with what he did on the ice.
Well, I read he had like a really nice like goodbye like article written, and one of the cool things, and he said this like in Boston, he was like, and when he got traded to the Ducks. He's like, you start to think about your role not as a player on the ice and what you can do in the points, but how you can help like grow the game for these young kids and to lead from the sideline. And it was like, I feel like a lot of people, yes, they might know their time is up, but to embrace that type of role, like, I know you don't like
Joe Thornton has been like, doing it as long as you've been alive, Wava.
Joe Thornton. Him and Yager were the last two playing hockey. Just after the rest of us are gone. Just
truly.
One after the other. But I just thought that was really, really cool that yep. him to share that.
The only difference is Thornton's playing for a cup, Yager's playing so he can keep gambling. That's the only difference between those two. But, yeah, no, you're right. I mean, like I said, I was half kidding that Backes' biggest achievement he did here was off the ice. He's like a dog shelter nut. Like, the dude, like, saves every dog in the city. Like, legitimately. He's going to have a farm and just have nothing but bunch of dogs out there in St. Louis. I'm not kidding. I see you cracking up, but I'm not kidding. Look it up. Him and his wife. They have like 40 dogs. I'm not making this up.
Really?
Yeah, like a dog sanctuary.
Yeah, they do. They do. I'm not kidding. 40 might be a lot. That might have been like maybe like 7 or 8.
Still a lot.
That's a lot of dogs. That's a lot of poop. I don't know why. Walking on Mass Ave with 7 dogs. I'm gonna pick up after them all. No, thank you. All set.
Scrub all mark. He's used to picking up poop. Sorry. We get in that Buffalo mood. I'm sure we'll talk about him once Eichel gets finally traded.
Once he gets traded.
Whatever team isn't even in contention.
What do you think is... Okay, if you... Here's a good one. Here's a good segment. Let's do a new segment here. Would you rather? Would you rather currently be the Buffalo Sabres, whose best player wants out, and you really have no hope for the future, or the Arizona Coyotes, who just have nowhere to play next year? Like, they just don't have a home.
I know.
Like what? Like the city was like, you know what, guys, this really isn't working out. Like, the whole city was like,
Like, oh, I thought you were relocating.
We're going to – listen, we're your landlords, okay? Next month will be your last month. Like they're literally kicking them out of the city. Like, that's amazing. So which team would you rather be? Buffalo? And here's the thing about Buffalo. As horrible as they are, that arena gets filled because there's literally nothing else to do in Buffalo.
Right.
The train in Buffalo ends at the rink. It's not like you can drive there because there's 10 feet of snow at all. Like, there's 10 feet of snow on the ground for legitimately 9 months. So there's nothing you can do there except go to these hockey games. You just hop on the train, and it legitimately ends right at the stadium. So you hop off, and it was a PNC or whatever, and you just go right in. Or maybe it's changed. No, it's not PNC. That's Pittsburgh, the Pittsburgh Pirates Stadium. But – you know what I mean? You do cover a lot of sports, you know what I mean? You have a lot of knowledge. But would you rather be Buffalo? The fan base is pretty good. They're starting to get a little agitated because Eichel wants out. So your best player wants out. You can't build a team to save your life. Or would you rather be Arizona, who also can't build a team to save their life, and getting kicked out of their home?
Or
as a fan, which team would you rather be a fan of?
I'd rather be a fan of Arizona. Oh my gosh, the heartbreak that Buffalo fans are going to have to go through. Of like, imagine everyone that like bought like all these jerseys, and then just the players just get like yeeted out of that city so fast, and you're just left like imagine like the Hall situation. Just that is enough to break a man, let alone everything else, and Eichel being like I don't want to be around anymore. Like, I'm good.
Yeah, but nobody blames them, though. That's the thing.
Well, yeah, but and they're not doing anything about it.
No,
like, everyone thought something was going to happen.
No, they tried to put a team around him, just nothing works.
And then you got this other kid, their number one draft, another first-round draft pick, who's like, yeah, I'm just going to go back to school.
Right, yeah, yeah, good
yeah,
job.
Right.
I'd rather do algebra class.
I'd rather go win a national championship than lose.
Yeah, I'm gonna go play for Michigan, right? I'm gonna go play for the University of Michigan or Minnesota, yeah. One of them.
Michigan.
And he's gonna score more goals in a month than that. Buffalo is gonna win all season.
True. Yeah. Yeah.
But they had like
Michigan will win more games too.
Michigan had like 7 players drafted in the first round.
Yeah, they're gonna be a good team.
If they don't win the national championship, like that whole program should just like disappear.
And like with Arizona, like they had a good, I think they put together a good team, but they lost. Didn't they lose Grubauer, their goalie?
Grubauer was in Colorado.
Oh, okay, whatever. Who's their goalie that they had? He was good.
They had Ranta. They had
the kid, the backwards, Darcy Kemper. They also have a backwards goalie that went to Pittsburgh. Is that Kemper?
Isn't Kemper gone?
He is. Yes.
So like that there we go, Grubauer. I just know every goalie left, including Tuukka. But so they lose like their really good goalie. They lose like all these other players, and now they lose their place to play. Like, what are they gonna do? Play at like University of Arizona or like the high school?
No, they. I mean, they should just. I was gonna say they should go back to Winnipeg, but I guess that's taken. Seriously. Or go. You know what they should do? Go to Atlanta. Become the Thrashers. So the OG Jets. Winnipeg Jets become the Coyotes to become the Thrashers.
Right. That'd be hilarious.
Or, I mean, there's got to be some city around there that they can be moved to. I got to look at a map of the United States and see. Like there's got to be.
Send them to Utah.
There's got to be somewhere around there that they can go where, like, the fans, in, like, the 12 fans in Arizona that actually enjoy the game.
You want to know what would be crazy if it happened? Is their team, they lose all these players, and then they get relocated to Alaska, and they can go play in the frozen tundra.
Or how about the NHL, where like right now the face of the NHL for whatever reason is Austin Matthews, who like grew up in Arizona, and it was rumored that he wanted to leave Toronto to go home to play in Arizona. And now they're just getting kicked out. Like now they're just not gonna have a team. Like, huh?
That's wild, too. Oh, bring him to Connecticut. Bring back the Whalers.
Yeah, that's not a terrible idea.
More people wear Whalers jerseys since they lost. Or since they dissolved.
True.
The Kansas City Scouts.
They became the Hurricanes. Kansas City, and maybe they could put a team in Vegas. Oh, wait. No, there's really nowhere for them to go.
Nowhere. Just put them in Quebec. Like, close, Quebec. Yeah. Bring back the Nordiques. Or bring them to Atlanta and have them be the Flames.
Put a team in Wisconsin. Is there a team in Wisconsin? Put a team in Green Bay.
Probably the closest one would be Minnesota, right?
Minnesota. Oh, the Iowa. Iowa Wild.
Yeah, the AHL team, though.
That's true, yeah. NHL team, Minnesota.
Milwaukee? Detroit. Or a team in Milwaukee?
No. No, there's no. I don't think there's an NHL team in Wisconsin, and that's a hockey hotbed.
Yeah,
Milwaukee Admirals.
Yeah.
No, you don't have a team there. That wouldn't be a terrible spot. Wisconsin cheese.
Yeah, it's a rough year already for those two franchises, and hockey hasn't even started yet.
Truly, but you're gonna, which Waba said he'd rather be Arizona.
Be Arizona.
Which one would you rather be?
I'd rather be Arizona.
See, I think I'd rather be Buffalo. Because Arizona's filed for bankruptcy before. Arizona's getting kicked out. They basically couldn't sell the team. The NHL just bought them, and then they were like, "What do we do now?" And nobody knew what to do. And then, but Buffalo, you know, the arena is pretty full. They're probably making some profits. They get rid of Eichel. They don't have to pay anybody. No one expects them to be good. They could just underpay everybody and make some money.
Yeah, they might be making a profit, but. The product you put on the ice is...
Both teams blow. Is either team good?
Their jerseys aren't even that nice. Kachina jerseys are fire.
That's true. But both teams suck. It's not like one team's like really better than the other. They're both going to be at the bottom of the barrel this year. They both kind of blow.
I hope so. Watch, they're just going to go undefeated. Arizona, we're gonna have to come in like 5 months and apologize.
No, they'll do what they did 2 years ago. They start out as the best team in the NHL and then finish as the worst team in the NHL.
There's no way they're gonna be the best in the NHL. They blow. Lou Eriksson's on that team. I didn't even know that.
Wait, which team?
What?
Arizona. Lou Eriksson.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they're going 82-0.
Phil Kessel. Well, they might win a game. They lost their captain. Not a big deal.
Yeah, OEL left. He went to Vancouver.
Not a big deal, I guess. Anyway. Just something quick that I had thought of there that maybe to have some fun. I want you guys each to give me one team that you want to keep your eye on here for the beginning of the season and pretty much this entire season. Do either of you have a team that you're gonna be watching, maybe a little closer eye other than the Bruins? We obviously automatically assume you're gonna watch the Bruins, but are there any other teams that you're gonna watch a little closely?
You got to go with the Minnesota Wild because that Kaprizov character.
Oh, yeah.
If he doesn't play in Russia, or Russia will let him play in both, I don't understand. But if he doesn't take those Russian dollary dues over there, that's going to be interesting. So obviously he's like super talented. They yeeted Parisian Suter in the offseason to make space for him. And he's like, I'm going to Russia. And no, like now what the hell happens? So that's going to be interesting to see what happens not only with that team and him, but if he plays here, what happens? And he's going to be sick.
He could be the first player I've ever seen in history to be like, no, I don't want a big deal. Sign me to a short deal. I want to sign like a 2 or 3 year deal. That's it. I don't want your 7 year deal with guaranteed money and millions of dollars. I actually just want, give me like 2 years. That's absolutely crazy to me. But anyway, he really went. He held out coming here to play in Russia. He played in Russia for 2 years before he even... 2 years? 1 year. 2 years. After he got drafted. Just stayed in Russia. Didn't even bother to come here. Didn't bother to play. Didn't really bother to do anything. And I don't even know if he wants to go back. He just doesn't want to sign a long-term deal to like commit himself to be here for that long.
Imagine either being like that good.
He's disgusting, too.
You're going to undervalue me, so I want a year-to-year deal where I'm just continuously going to screw you, or I'm going to leave and go to Russia. Yeah. It's like he's going to take his ball and go home. Yeah. Like, what a bad spot to be in if you're Minnesota. But God, if he plays here, like he is the single difference between a team being good and just not good. I don't know if I've seen that before.
It's a good answer. It's a very good answer. Well thought out. Proud of you.
Marinated.
10 points for Gryffindor. What do you got? What do you got, Ryan?
Oh, it's kind of cheating for me because I already pay attention to the Red Wings. I pay attention to Vegas. But a team, honestly, I'll go away from those two teams because I think the Florida Panthers kind of intrigued me this year. I think Spencer Knight's going to steal that job from Bob. He's going to be the number one goalie down there. I mean, I know they just signed Joe Thornton, which he's just going to be a fill-in on the bottom six. But, I mean, Florida played well last year. They looked good last year. I mean, they ran into Tampa, who, you know, broke the system and just, you know, was $200 million over the cap. But they still gave Tampa a good run in that series. I think, you know, Florida puts in the pieces that they were kind of missing this year. I don't know exactly who they added and what they lost, other than obviously Joe Thornton. And then Driedger obviously went to the Kraken. But
they got Knight.
Yeah, they got Spencer Knight, who pretty much stole that job at the end of the season last year, then kind of beat them both out for those last couple games in the playoffs. So I'm interested. I mean, I didn't really look deep into them because I wasn't prepared for this question, but kind of just thinking quick. That would be probably the one team that I probably kind of keep my eye on other than Vegas, Detroit, and Boston.
Decent
answer. What about you, Mike?
Decent answer. I'll allow it. One of the teams that I want to take a look at this year is going to be, and this might surprise you, but hear me out, the Chicago Blackhawks. Because I feel like this team's kind of been forgotten about, and for pretty good reason, I think. They've for lack of a better term, sucked for the last, I don't know, 3-4 years.
Since they beat you.
Yeah, you know what? You might not be wrong. But don't forget, they also didn't have their captain at all last year, and arguably probably their second best player behind Patrick Kane, who is, in my opinion, the most untalked about, most electric player in the league. Like, everybody talks about Ovechkin, everybody talks about Crosby. If you're just casually watching a Chicago Blackhawks game, which I don't know why you would, or when they play the Bruins, or maybe when they play the Knights, or when Wab is watching the Minnesota Wild, and they're playing the Blackhawks, watch Patrick Kane when he touches the puck, because the dude stick handles like there's 10 people around him at all times, but there's never anybody around him. He just stick handles just for the sake of stick handling, and it's mesmerizing. Like, he's like, I'm telling you, he's like the least talked about, most like thrilling player to watch play. They added Tyler Johnson, who's not like a huge piece, but he's won Stanley Cups with Tampa. He's a pretty good center, and in my opinion, he'll be a second, third line center. They have young players in Kirby Doc, who's going to be a really good player. He played last year. He was pretty good. They've got this up and coming kid, Lucas Reichel, I believe is how you say his name. He's a left-handed shot. I want to say he's in the top five prospects. It might be top five under 25, but I don't know. Either way, he's in the top five prospects. They added Seth Jones. They have Chad Kris, who's a young young defenseman that he's a U.S.-born kid. I'm pretty sure he played at BU. Could be an exciting player to watch on the back end. They got Marc-Andre Fleury, and by God, I mean literally handed Marc-Andre Fleury for legitimately nothing. Chicago was like, let me give you a pick. Vegas is like, no. You were good here. Don't worry about it. We're good. So that's like five or six players right there that are either new, coming back, or young and can make an impact to this team. Plus they have DeBrincat. Plus they have Kane. They got rid of Keith. They no longer have to worry about Seabrook. Like, they kind of got rid of the older guys that they were holding on to and have kind of flushed it with young talent. And I wouldn't be surprised if this team makes the playoffs and is semi-relevant.
I forgot about that Keith deal. What was it? To Edmonton? They traded, yeah. I forget who they got. And then, like, the next day, it was like, there were, like, good people. Like, was it Suter showed up for free? And they just paid, like, done that trade for Keith or whatever?
Yes, well, Suter got bought out.
Exactly, but like they could have gotten someone who I think is better.
Yeah,
for money.
Yeah, I like Duncan. I don't mind Duncan Keith, but I just, I mean, like I said, I just think that there are some young pieces or some pieces that they added. Seth Jones is dynamic as a defender.
They have his brother too.
Yeah, they do. They do. Yeah, but he's not as he's not as dynamic. Is it Caleb? Caleb Jones, not quite as dynamic. Good player, but I mean, Seth Jones will be a top 10 defenseman before you see the end of his career. They have Alex Nylander. They've got young players, and now they're getting Taze back. I think it'll be an interesting team to watch.
I agree with that. I think, yeah, I think the GM made a lot of good moves in the offseason. They picked up a lot of good players, and yeah, I was shocked by that Keith trade. It was like I thought Edmonton got hosed, and then just all these defenders just showed up for free. Or for Bunny, and just bad timing once again for that poor team up there. But yeah, I agree. Chicago will be fun.
Yeah, I mean, they finally got rid of those old contracts that they've been kind of weighing them down the last couple of years. They, like you mentioned, they went young. I mean, they got Jones, which is Jones and Fleury alone were the steal of the offseason. In my opinion.
Oh, yes, when you get handed a Vezina Trophy winner for legitimately nothing, the year he won the Vezina, or was the finalist for the Vezina.
He won the Vezina, and then like the next day they just threw him to Chicago.
Here you go.
It made no sense. I'd ask people what future considerations meant. I'm like, what is that? Who is that? Who is future considerations? And they're like, it literally means like a bag of pucks, maybe.
Yeah, they're going to buy him a new Zamboni.
Like a fifth round draft pick or something.
They wouldn't even take a pick. I'm thinking they traded him for nothing. Literally nothing.
I wish people just give me stuff for nothing. Like of that caliber.
Just here you go. Here's a goal. Here's your starting goalie. Send us I don't know. I think we need to repaint the circles this year. Send us some paint. like what?
We will take your best Zamboni driver.
Yeah, seriously. Seriously. But no, I mean, three pretty good answers there, I think. And I hope Kaprizov comes back.
Yes.
Personal reasons. He's on my fantasy team. Spencer Knight's on my fantasy team.
I got two young guns of his. I need to pay off my house. So Kaprizov. Yeah. I need you to blow this.
There's the real reason. Here I am thinking that Waba was like, you know what? I really put some thought into this. I think Kaprizov, and now he just has his young guns card. I'm not even surprised. Honestly.
I have two of them.
No, not surprised though.
I'm actually not surprised.
Yeah, no, I'm in it to win it, man. I need him to do this. I need to send my daughter to college.
Yeah, that makes sense. Anything else you guys want to touch on before we sign off for the first new show, new direction show?
Last thing, just very quick. I love that the Carolina Hurricanes offer sheeted Kotkaniemi and then started trolling them on their Twitter in French because it did the same thing to Aho and made Kotkaniemi's offer with a $20 signing bonus, which is Aho's number, because F Montreal, F the Habs. And I know the Canes have signed some jerks recently, but that was such a good move, and I love and I appreciate them. So thank you, Carolina.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah, Montreal fans are saying that Carolina's dumb for doing that.
Okay, well
not dumb for like the retaliation, but dumb for taking the player. Like they're just like that's like Montreal in like a nutshell. They're like, oh, we love Cocton and Yemi, and then he leaves and like we don't even like him anyway. Like it's such a Montreal thing to do. Yeah, we didn't even like him. We didn't like him. We didn't want to sign him. We didn't want that.
So I know that's not Boston news, but it's anti-Montreal news. Which
well, it's
I know.
Funny. It's funny because I don't even know if Carolina really wanted the player. I think they just did it because of the Aho thing, and then they ended up getting. They're like, oh,
they wanted to stick it to him. It's like when the Pats got Cam Newton. Just oh, okay, I guess we're doing this.
Yeah.
Like why not? And you know, I'm sure he'll do fine there. But I think spite is a powerful tool.
I remember
and
when they
that petty. I appreciate it.
I remember when they offer sheeted Aho, and it was like the biggest deal because you just don't do it. And they're like, I wonder what the Hurricanes are gonna do in retaliation. Like, will they go after one of the players? And it's like, no, they just waited a couple years and did it back, and did it better because now they have both. They have Aho and Kotkaniemi.
French, exactly word for word what the coach said about like it being okay. Yeah. It's so. They just let that fester, man. It's good for them.
Yep. Yeah. No, good for them. You're right. Good call. Again, Waba. Now, do you have a first edition signed Kotkaniemi Canadiens with an official jersey card? And you,
no,
and that's
this time I don't.
So it's a collector's edition.
But I do have my Trent Frederick rookie.
I can't see that at all. It just looks. Like put that up against the screen, and it made it look like you were. There was nobody at Chili's.
So I'm not financially invested in Kotkaniemi. No, not yet.
Nice.
Not yet.
Nice. All right, Ryan. You got anything before we head off?
No. I think we've gone long enough, so I'll save some stuff for the next episode, whether it'll be next week or 2 weeks.
Maybe a couple months.
I mean, the season starts in less than 4 weeks, so.
Next episode will be on Twitch, so go check us out, twitch.tv/BBNG podcast. BBNG, Blee Black and Gold podcast. You both have your own Twitters and Twitches. Why don't you plug them now? Now would be a good time for that, I think. Go.
You can follow me at BigCountry7914 on pretty much all platforms, Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram. I don't know, wherever all the young kids hang out.
I don't know, whatever. Wobba, go ahead.
You can find me on twitch.tv/WobbaPlays. I'm trying to win a franchise mode with the Lexington Minutemen. I drafted some dude named McMuffin, so come hang out there. Also find me on YouTube, at WobbaPlays, Twitter, TikTok, somehow, all that fun stuff, at WobbaPlays everywhere.
And follow us on Twitter at @BBNGpodcast and on Twitch at twitch.tv/BBNGpodcast. Thank you guys both for joining us. Thank you to the Boston Sports Syndicate for presenting us. Don't forget to check them out at thebostonsportssyndicate.com. And if for any reason all of that's not enough and you want to talk to me directly at @Vintage_Trav on Twitter, I don't see any reason for you to want to do that. So hit up Waba or Big Country first instead. They'll filter the messages and let me know what's going on.
Like, just don't do, like, you can follow me, don't though.
But in all seriousness, if there's anybody interested in potentially joining the show as a guest, whether you have a podcast, you're just a fan, you have a Twitch following, whatever it may be, message us over at BBNG Podcast on Twitter, and maybe we can make something happen. So you guys, I'm pumped to get this old new venture started, and looking forward to more shows and more content with you guys. So appreciate you both for joining me, and appreciate everybody for listening.